Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What a day it is. And every Monday, you guys know at 3 o'clock, it's time for Nathan Zagura, and it's even sweeter on a Victory Monday, and he joins us now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, thank you for bringing home the dub.
I'm very happy that the Browns went down there and accomplished what they set out to, and that was getting a win over a conference opponent on the road, getting this thing back to 1-1. And it was at times not maybe as easy as you would have liked it to be down the stretch, but the Browns got it done and got that all-important win.
So we'll start with the obvious. How do you think Deshaun played?
Very well. I thought he played very well, and in fact, I don't think his numbers really tell the story of how well he played. I thought he saw the field extremely well. I thought he was very accurate with the football. He was the victim, unfortunately, of four drops, and he was under pressure 47% of his dropbacks, which, again, is way, way, way too high. But I thought his ability to extend plays and then make some incredible throw to Jerry Jeudy on the sideline and then to really kind of navigate that pocket and take care of the football was great. Obviously, the third down play at the end where he hits the boot, yes, Tillman was open, but that was too tough of a throw. You got to eat that one, and I'm sure he will in the future if that situation arises. I like the call, but the execution was good. But outside of that play, I thought Deshaun Watson played one of his better games as a Cleveland Brown from start to finish, and it's a shame that penalties, drops, and other kind of mitigating factors limited this team. The Browns should have scored around 30 in this game. This should have been a blowout. Now, it was a win, and they count the same, so you're glad you got it done. But I was very impressed with Deshaun Watson in this game.
So one thing that has been noted is the use of big sets in this game as opposed to what really was pretty minimal use of that in the previous week. Is that, I'm going to answer a question here as I ask you the question, but is that pretty much because of where the offensive line is?
So I think it's a couple of things. Number one, the Jags have a great front four across the front, and it's a bigger front four relative to what the Dallas Cowboys have. And so I think that they also got Deontay Foreman. Remember, he wasn't in the game. And probably in hindsight, you would have done that a little bit differently week one. And so that was able, allowed them to get into some of those bigger looks, dictate the personnel of the Jags, and then get that ground game going, then allow for some opportunities, maybe for some chunk plays out of more max protect looks. So I think it was game plan specific. We've seen Stefanski do that for years and years and years. So I'm not surprised that the Cleveland Browns did that in this game. And I think it's really kind of part of their DNA. There's more spread stuff, obviously, from Ken Dorsey, but that's at the heart of what Kevin Stefanski likes to do. And so, no, wasn't surprised about that. And I've seen people kind of read into that that meant they didn't trust Deshaun Watson. I think it could not be further from the truth. It was, let's put this team against this front in the best positions to succeed, because last week we ended up in second and long and third and long far too often. Now, Browns still have to get better on third downs. They still have to clean up penalties, 13 of them in this game. They were not good on third down. So there are things to work on, and those third downs ended up actually being third and long a lot of times this week because of those penalties. But I thought it was done to get the Browns in better second and short distance. And I think they accomplished that.
So I know we've got a lot to get to, and there's a lot of good to talk about with the defense, but just to bring it back to Deshaun, if that's the next step that we saw, right? Dallas was the low bar, and then yesterday was that big step up. What's the next step up for Deshaun?
I think it's Deshaun doing more of what he did in this game, and then I think it's the offense's operation in general around him being better. Better pass protection, fewer penalties, eliminate the drops. I mean, we've had 9 drops in 2 games. That's very uncharacteristic of this Cleveland Browns football team, especially, you know, when Amari struggled with it a little bit. That's very uncharacteristic for him and something that I'm sure will sort itself out. I thought that was good. And then when the opportunities are there, but this goes back to the protection thing, right? You've got to get the ball down the field. He was very good on vertical passing in this game. And in fact, should have been 5 for 6, ended up 4 for 6. One of those was the drop by Amari that would have gone for another 30, 40 yards. This was an opportunity. I thought Deshaun looked good. We have to get ourselves in situations where we can take more shots. And I thought if the protection had been better on some of these plays, there were guys open down the field. That's kind of the next progression, getting it all on the same page. And for Deshaun, when those vertical shots are blocked up properly and called, delivering those footballs down the field.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline on a Browns victory Monday. Mercifully, necessarily, beautifully, a Browns victory Monday. So the defense really deserves a lion's share of the credit here. That was both in the first half where they were suffocating and then making the big play with a safety down the stretch, and obviously on that final drive by Jacksonville to kind of outlast them. What do you think, or maybe why was the defense so much better this week versus week one?
I don't even think the defense was that bad week one, to be honest. I know a lot of people have kind of had that narrative, and they look at the total points and you say, oh, how could you say the defense was pretty good? Well, in week one, they gave up two long touchdown drives. Yes, that is true. They also forced a bunch of three and outs. They also had three short fields where the Cowboys took over in Browns territory and they held them to field goals. And they forced 4 of 14 on third down, which is a 29% conversion rate, which is exactly where this team was last year when they were historically good. So I actually thought the defense in week one was very good. I thought that continued in this game. Great job getting off the field on third downs. They got after Trevor Lawrence, and really it was a couple of big plays that were the only kind of Achilles heels for the Browns defense in this game. It was a 66-yarder to Brian Thomas that set up the touchdown for the Jags, and then you had a 33-yard run, I'm sorry, by Trevor Lawrence, but they held up at the goal line. I thought they did a great job there forcing the Jags to kick down in the red zone. And so some of the things people had talked about last year, this team, where are they, right, on the road? They were not good in 2023, as great as they were at home. Well, this is a great start here. You hold them to 13 points, 3 of 9 on third downs. You did a great job there. You had 4 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, and you did a very good job. In the red zone, the Jags were 1-for-4, and in goal-to-go situations, the Jags were 1-for-3. That is tremendous defense where it matters the most on the scoreboard, and that's a big reason why the Browns won this game.
No, this was a really good play. It just didn't go as good as it could have gone. MJ Emerson, how different do you think this game is if he catches that interception?
Yeah, he ripped it right out of the guy's hand like he did in his preseason debut, which was also in this stadium in Jacksonville, and I think it could have gone quite different, as a matter of fact, in this game. If that happens, if Amari catches the third down pass, if Dustin Hopkins stays behind the 50-yard line on the kickoff when Winston Reed absolutely eviscerated Tank Bigsby, forced the fumble, that was a special teams turnover that was at, what, the Jags 25? So there were multiple things that happened in this game that absolutely changed the outcome here and made it a little bit more tense than I think it needed to be for the Cleveland Browns.
Nathan Zagura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Was it 24 penalties in 2 weeks for darn near 200 yards? Yeah.
Too many.
How quick can you turn those around and maybe, I don't know, take 4 or 5 of them a game off the board?
You've got to. Now, the procedure penalties on the orbit motions, those have everybody in this building currently confused because the Browns have run those motions forever without it being a penalty. And I know the NFL's got a point of emphasis on guys in motion that are moving towards the line of scrimmage, and that was really put in place due to what the Miami Dolphins had been doing. And that was kind of, in theory, thought about for motions that are right by the line of scrimmage and they're kind of turning up so that they're getting almost a running start. When a guy's going in orbit motion and he's behind the quarterback, in some cases even behind the running back, we're talking 6, 7, 8 yards from the field, does it matter if he's moving a degree forward? I think it's a silly rule, but the Browns have got to be aware of it. So I think those will be able to be cleaned up. The penalties that have been backbreaking are all the different holding penalties. And I don't know if that's a technique issue. I don't know if that's just situationally that's what's happening. You know, James Hudson being out there and that you've played really great pass rushing tandems right out of the gate. You talk about week one, Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence. Week two, Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker. And Josh Hines-Allen was an absolute force in this game. But you've got to get that stuff cleaned up. You cannot be a team that is penalized double digits a game because every 100 yards, I've heard this from so many coaches and many have come through this building over the years, every 100 yards is 7 points. So if you're getting penalized for 200 yards, that's 14 points that you're either taking away from yourself or giving to the opponent, however you want to add it up. That's a tough way to win in the National Football League if you're giving away a touchdown a game in penalty yards. Can't do that.
Yeah, it's also weird how I just feel like every year the NFL has new missives that they're going to crack down on, and then like 8 weeks into the season, they stop.
They go away.
And yeah. I fundamentally don't get, because it's not like they actually clean up the game at all. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
No, I totally agree. And it's, again, what they called on those orbit motions, I understand penalties that impact the play or it impacts how the play unfolded or the result of the play. That had they had nothing to do with anything on these plays. So that to me, it's almost throwing flags for flag's sake. I don't like that at all. And nobody goes to the game to see flags. You know, we've had both Browns games so far, I think, have been combined for the Browns had 13, as you point out, for 100. They had 6 for 52, so that's 19. I think the first one, both the Browns and the Cowboys had double digits. Nobody's watching these games to see 20 flags. You know what I mean? That's not what anybody wants out of the National Football League. So my guess is they're going to get that hopefully cleaned up a little bit and figured out.
Nathan, it has been called an ugly win. When do style points matter in football? Or are
never.
Your team just win? Thank you. All right.
Never. They never matter. There's no such thing as a bad win. There can be good losses, you know, in the sense that if you were in a game that you were a significant underdog and you play well and you take them to the limit, you know, it's a good loss. But it's just about winning. It's just win, baby. Al Davis had it right. There are no bad wins. That's for darn sure in the league. It is hard to win in the National Football League. And so when you go down to Jacksonville in conference and you beat the Jags, that's a good win. Could it have been much easier than it was? Absolutely. Would we have all enjoyed that? Thoroughly. But you went down there to do one thing, and that was come back on that plane with a win, and the Browns did that.
All right. What are you putting more emphasis on right now? Amari struggles through 2 weeks or Jerry Jeudy's big game?
I believe Amari Cooper is one of the best receivers in the league. We've seen him catch the football very effectively throughout his career, 7,000-yard seasons, 5 Pro Bowl seasons. It's one of those kind of strange anomalies right now that we're dealing with, but I think it's going to get fixed? Absolutely, I do. I know it's going to get fixed. I'm not worried about that at all. I am very excited, and I really have been since, you know, we've been talking, even going back to the preseason, about what Jerry Jeudy is going to bring this football team, and so far, he's shown that. I mean, I think you've seen it. His ability to get open, his ability to make catches, I think big things are in store for Jerry Jeudy. This offense really hasn't even unlocked itself yet, and I think you're going to have some games where you got Jeudy going off big. You got Amari Cooper. You got David Njoku. You've got Elijah Moore, who had a bunch of 6 catches, I think, in this game. So, yeah, I'm bullish on where this offense is going, but I love what Jerry Jeudy's doing, and I know Amari Cooper is going to bounce back, and I'm not worried about that at all.
Kind of feel like Elijah's game has been lost in the mix. I thought he played a pretty damn good game outside of that drop in the second half. Nathan,
yeah,
you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you. It's just a little bit more fun when we get to talk about a Browns victory Monday.
It's not even a little more. It is a lot more fun, and it lasts the whole week, which is the great thing about the NFL, right? That's the tough part about losses in the NFL. They carry with you all week, and this was a big one. If you looked at the schedule, I think anybody would have said, of course, would it have been great to go 2-0? Absolutely. Who wouldn't have loved to have gone 2-0? But at the same time, you know you had to go 1-1. And they've done that. And so, and if you had to go 1-1, you would have rather have beaten the AFC opponent just because that has more of an impact for the playoffs down the line. And you did that. So that is excellent, excellent news. And the Browns are now right in a position with the Giants coming down. You can't take them lightly, but to get on a little bit of a winning streak here.
I think it's said about Victory Mondays, if it lasts longer than a week, consult your doctor. But that could be something else. Could be getting that twisted there. Nathan, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Nathan Zagura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What the bigger deal is right now for Browns wide receiver, Amari Cooper's oopsies or Jerry Jeudy's big game? And great stuff from Nathan there. Carmen and the Lima's emerging podcast scene tackles the sports scene with a different style every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10:15. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. So here's the thing. Everything that has happened with Amari Cooper the last 2 weeks has been every bit of the fear that I had in the preseason. Amari was very honest, and we appreciate the honesty, where Amari was forthright about the contractual situation he was in and some of the disappointments that he had had with maybe not getting more years here and not extending out the contract, even though he got more money specifically for this year. So he was very honest about that. I also think Amari was very gracious with how he responded when his name was floated in the rumored trade for Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco. But you cannot tell me, like, that was one part of my fear, The other part of my fear was fit in the new offense, and specifically chemistry with Deshaun. 2 years ago, those two had zero chemistry in the final six games of the season. Now, I think we all kind of gave him the old pass there because, you know, what more could we say? Like, nobody was put in a good situation there by virtue of coming off the suspension. But last year, we saw glimpses of a connection between Amari and Deshaun, but there were only five games, and Deshaun had a shoulder injury, and we really didn't get to see it. So you add to it, all right, so there might not be a natural chemistry there. You add to it, it's a new offense. And I love how people say, well, Amari can fit into any offense. Yeah, but he doesn't have experience in a more wide-open offense. Like, Amari's, the base of Amari's success has been in a West Coast system with a specific route tree and with on-schedule throws. That's not where this thing's going. So you add those two things together with a guy that was rebuffed when he wanted to get a contract extension and then floated in trade rumors the month before the season started. Like, the last two games, which were the huge drop. I don't think we can really put it into proper context, the third down drop by Amari in the first half. How different that game was going. And how different scoring a touchdown on the second drive that you had after scoring one on the first one. Maybe that game does end in the 30-0 route that we sure thought it, the way it felt like it was going before things stalled as the game went into the second half. It was a cataclysmic drop by Amari. And I don't want to turn this into a bag on Amari situation because it's two games. And because I still think Amari is every bit of what Nathan said, which is a really, really damn good receiver. And honestly, probably to the point where even in places he's played, underrated. Like, you look at those numbers, 10,000-plus yards in 10 seasons, he is on a ridiculous pace, and he's just been pretty much a steady Eddie. That said, it's not just the drops that are a problem. It's the eye rolling. It's the body language. And, you know, Nathan says, you know, within that answer that we just played, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to get fixed. There's a big part of me that does believe that, by the way. Sometimes, you know, it's wild how sometimes patience and just letting things run their course and just consistent dialogue, how much of a change that makes. But it's got to change quickly. Because I think after 2 weeks, as crazy as this might sound to say, Amari is in danger of losing his place amongst the favored sons of the Browns offense. Because Jerry Jeudy had a really, really, really good game. Because Elijah Moore, outside of that, what is it, one or two drops in the second half, Elijah was a huge part of your momentum early in that game. Even David Bell had a better game, and you hate to see that kid who just got back on the active roster then go down with a busted hip. That injury also has some implications for his career long term that hopefully, you know, they can avoid any of the issues that several great athletes, including Bo Jackson, have gone into, where if you lose blood flow to that hip, it can lead to nerve damage and the end of your career. I digress. That's for another day. But that was, I'll be honest with you guys, I can deal with the drops. The attitude is a little different. And I know Amari has gotten into spots where this has been an issue. Part of the reason why things ended in Dallas is that final year, he was not the guy he had been the few previous years. There had been some rumblings in the locker room about how he vented his frustration and whether he was 100% all in. I hope that's not the conversation that we're going to have this year with Amari. But two games in, I think this is we should probably be talking about this, but we shouldn't be panicking about it. Another two or three games, guys, we start talking about this in a much more significant and serious tone. And as hard as I've been on Kevin Stefanski, as hard as I've been on Deshaun Watson, as hard I've been on any of these guys, it's not their job to fix. I hate to be this guy, but it's Amari's business decision was, I'm going to hold out to get as much money as I can to protect myself. That's fine. You should do that. You should look out for number one. But the reason why you should do that is teams are going to do that too. So I don't think Amari has a leg to stand on here if he's pissed about not getting a long-term extension and almost being traded for Brandon Ayuk when he himself was doing what's best for Amari. When one side is loyal and the other side isn't, that's when we can talk about, you know, team loyalty and a lack thereof. When both parties are acting in their best interest, and then both parties just kind of have to grow up and get over it when it doesn't land the way either of them hope it would. Amari has to be better. Not just because his career says he's the better player and because he owes it to himself in the future. Amari has to be better because he's making a butt ton of money. And if we're going to say this about Jerry Jeudy needs to live up to his, what I will say is pretty slim contract compared to what Amari makes, then we probably should be saying the same thing about Amari. Really, like, disappointing effort, focus, reaction from Amari, especially in this game. That being said, you did get a taste of what this offense is supposed to look like when it comes to the other wide receivers. And one of the reasons why I wasn't quite there on paying Amari yet is I think that when Deshaun is most confident, most healthy, that is absolute zenith. I think being able to move the ball around with weapons that have speed and also, like Amari, can get open, I think you'd rather have three really good wide receivers out there than a 1B wide receiver like Amari. And I think I thought Jerry Jeudy's sideline catch, where basically he took the ball away from being an interception, I thought was one of the most important plays of the season, because one, it was a great play by Jerry Jeudy, a guy that we need to see that kind of play from a lot. And then two, because that's the kind of throw with Deshaun that I think Deshaun attempts when Deshaun is confident and healthy. It was a tight window throw. You had, very little margin for error. And I think making that play, even though the play was made by Jerry and the throw was a risk by Deshaun, you know, Jason McCourty in the call said, he shouldn't have thrown that ball. Disagree. Because that's the throw with Deshaun that I think those on the play, I got to make something happen. This play is broken down. I'm going to throw this into a tight window and give my receiver. That's the play that I think separates Deshaun when he's at his best. So to see Jerry Jeudy have a very good game was incredibly promising. And I'll be honest with you, I think his play was more promising.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Thing that I think Amari's is concerning. Because with Amari, I look at this and go, well, he's earned the benefit of the doubt to have a bad game or two, even if it involves things that I think are non-negotiables, like good attitude. I'll give Amari that because he's a damn good receiver and he is a veteran in that locker room, and I hope that he can get past it and be a more focused and better player with that attitude that we've come to trust in that locker room. And I think that is going to happen. I have no reason to believe two games into this season it won't. And you add to it Jerry Jeudy and making plays the way Jerry did yesterday. Oh, and Elijah Moore was really good. And David Bell made a play or two. Like, that's how you do it. And that's how the offense should look with Deshaun. 216-474-0092. So as we look at yesterday's game, what are you putting more stock into right now? Amari's struggle through two games or Jerry Judy's big game? Let's go with JJ, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you for calling, buddy.
All right, I'm going to start by saying good job to the offensive line. Way to step up this week. You know, at the end of the game, it was a couple of hiccups, but for the most part, I thought they did pretty a big step from week one, that's for sure. Same goes for Deshaun. You know, if it wasn't for a few drops in that game, I thought we could have blew that. And penalties, that game should have been a blowout. You know, we got another big game, like they say. I hope they just keep that same mindset. Just week by week, man, just try to get better. And, I mean, as far as Amari Cooper go, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about him having no attitude about trade talks. You know, he's one of those guys where you like, you know, he an NFL guy. He knows how the game is played. You know, you might get traded. You never know. You know what I'm saying? You might not get a contract. And if I ain't mistaken, this is a contract year for him, right? So he'll bounce back. You know, I just want to see him just – we got the Giants. This should be another one where we can wake up the offense a little bit more. Our defense can, you know, get a little better. Corey Bajorquez, great punt, man. I don't know if you listen to this show, but that was a game saver right there, man. Beautiful. All-around game. I get those guys at B+, man, for the week.
JJ.
No Browns. Get another one.
I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. Everybody knows this is Bajorquez's favorite show. We've been saying that for a while. One, because we can actually say his name properly. I heard Bajor. The dude has been the punter for multiple years now. And this is the new James Borrego. We just can't say Corey Bajorquez's name. It's the new Holmgren. Like, I just feel like there are certain names that are beyond us. Corey Bajorquez. Now it feels like I'm taking shots at other people. I didn't mean to do that. You know, normally, when I mean to take shots, I do mean to take shots. The thing about Amari, though, is like I look at it like Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is being a much bigger problem right now in Cincinnati. Jamar Chase is screaming at officials, getting penalties, having the coach, who is not this kind of guy, telling him to shut the you-know-what up on the sidelines. And then in the postgame, he's being very honest that he's not happy. On top of the report that he's broken off long-term negotiations with the organization because he doesn't trust them anymore. That's a much bigger concern about where Amari is. And I still think the Bengals and Jamar are going to make it work because that's what you do when you have that kind of talent. And I think with Amari, there's too much good in the last 3 years together, even though I don't know he and Deshaun have a natural chemistry. Even though I do think that he's absolutely letting his attitude get the worst of him. And I think you cannot deny, like, it would be a team-friendly thing. It would be an Amari-friendly thing to ignore the implication of almost being traded and not getting what you want out of a holdout. It wasn't even a hold-in. I still think he can make it work. But it's on Amari. Amari has, because it's in a contract year, Amari has to understand you don't get paid more by big drops and a bad attitude. You don't. So even if Amari's not going to be here, I want the guy to get his paper. I want the guy to set himself up and continue to set himself up with generational wealth. Yesterday, not how you do it. We are still reacting to the Browns' win yesterday. And can I tell you, I think I figured out why Trevor Lawrence isn't better, isn't farther along in his career. I think we got a case of RBF. I thought it was wild when, like, I think it was the second quarter or maybe third quarter when Jason McCourty and Chris Lewis, who were on the team for CBS, were like, he's trying a different tact after this last drive of going down and encouraging everybody on the offensive side of the ball. You know, going to the O-line and then the receivers and then the running backs and then the tight ends and, you know, the coaches. And every time I saw Trevor Lawrence, he did. Now, granted, that was a Texas-sized butt-whooping yesterday. The defense was on him from the start of the game. Miles got to him early. Obviously, we know the story late with the safety. But, like, they did a good job. And not just that. They did a great job of taking care of Travis Etienne. JOK and Hicks both made plays early in that game that were eye-popping plays if you go back and watch them. JOK was, I mean, dude, I think we've reached a point where I don't know why that dude's not getting more talk about as one of the three best linebackers in the game. I know some folks, what was that, ESPN had him sixth in their positional rankings. The way he's so freaking quick to the ball, it is so ridiculous. And I thought it was funny, the last time I saw Travis Etienne bottled up like that in college was ironically when he was at Clemson and JOK was at Notre Dame, and JOK on prime time took over a game and helped get the win for Notre Dame. Later that year, the roles were reversed and didn't go that way. I don't believe JOK was playing in that game. But there was something about watching Trevor Lawrence. I think it's interesting we're also talking about the body language of Mari Cooper. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think anybody likes Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they hate him. But there is a Carson Wentz, why aren't you doing your job better vibe going on with Trevor Lawrence that I think showcased itself in the most interesting ways throughout that game. And it reminds me of you can be that's one way to be. Tom Brady was a guy who was constantly screaming at his teammates, right? We always saw the outbursts on the sidelines. Most guys can't do what Tom Brady can do on the field and get away with doing what Tom Brady did on the sidelines. So that being said, it was one other note that I did have about the Browns offense was it was wild to see them throw more jumbo sets out there. They had the third tight end, which was effectively a guard. Nick Harris, we saw a couple times. So I think, I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I was like, are you bailing on the new offense already? And then I think what this was the basic understanding that they were not, that they're still not getting the base protection that they need from their tackles. And honestly, it still wasn't a great day from your interior offensive line. I didn't love the holding call on Wyatt Teller. Posick got popped on one that was fair. Joel Bitonio got popped on one that was fair. I didn't look at yesterday as they were abandoning this idea of a spread out offense, because you still saw some spread concepts. You still saw the intentional movement. I think yesterday they realized that until you get your tackles back, and specifically on the left side of the line, until you get that shored up, you're not really going to be able to see how you can replace David Njoku. So that's one hand. And the other is, you're just going to have to kind of modify this offense to look more of a cross at what it was with Kevin Stefanski and his big concepts, extra O linemen, triple tight ends, all that stuff, while also still giving Deshaun the freedom to make plays. And I actually think that's what is most impressive about yesterday, is you still couldn't truly schematically do as many wide sets as you want. And Deshaun still looked comfortable in some of the stuff that he did not look comfortable a year ago in. So all of this is very inside football. All of this is very small sample size. But I tend to agree with what Nathan Zakura said earlier in the show. There was the penalties which need to be cleaned up. There are the drops which you just cannot have. Overall, though, I actually think the Browns' offense played pretty well. And I think they teased the ability to take another step forward this week. 216-474-0092. What grade would you give the offense on Sunday? I've seen a few people give them a B+. I'm living in the B- area. Because the penalties were killers. It feels weird to ding Deshaun for things that he had. No, it's not about dinging Deshaun. Yesterday proved to me something that we talked about a lot last week, which is what should the bigger concern be going forward, Deshaun or the O-line? Last week we said Deshaun. I think this last week showed it might actually be the offensive line. And you got to find a way to get these guys right. And I'm not trying to be this guy, but if 5 weeks from now we're talking about alignment penalties, which were a big thing last week, if we're still talking about multiple holding penalties within a small sample, within a small amount of time, if we're still talking about having to use the bigger sets with three tight ends and the extra, if we're still talking about all this 5 weeks from now, we're going to have the Bill Callahan conversation. I know that's very early to start to bail on Andy Dickerson. I'm not saying we're there yet. We're still in the point where I think the injuries are the bigger issue with that O-line. I know you just need some time, but the early returns on the new usage of the O-lineman and the early returns on losing Bill Callahan, none of which seem remotely positive.